بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Reading the beliefs regarding the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Belief number 9. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the total count. The first of these messengers was Adam alayhi salam, and the final of these messengers was Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remainder has been sent between these two. Some among them were very famous: Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Ilyas alayhi salam, Al-Yasa alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Zulkifl alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, and Shuaib alayhi salam. Belief number 10. Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah ta'ala in Jannah from sand without the agency of human parents. He was the first man. He had no mother and no father. His wife Hawa radiallahu anha was created from his left rib. All human beings are from their progeny. Man appeared on earth in a state of spiritual, moral, intellectual and physical perfection. Man is not the product of any evolutionary process which regards apes as the ancestors of men. To believe in Darwin's theory of evolution will cause a person to lose his iman. Belief number 11. Isa alayhi salam was created without the agency of a human father. He was born miraculously of Maryam radiallahu anha. He has not as yet died a physical death. He was raised bodily in the physical state in wakefulness into the heavens, where he is to this day. He will again descend to earth prior to Qiyamah. His prime mission will be to slay the Dajjal. He will live on earth for a period and then die a physical death. Isa alayhi salam was not the son of God or God. There are many reasons why Isa alayhi salam cannot be God or the son of God, as Christians believe. A few are: number one, he was born of a mother. If being born of a single parent is a sign of being the son of God, then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will have a greater right to be called the son of God, as he was born without both parents. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam used to eat and drink. This is a proof of need and want, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely free from. Number three, Isa alayhi salam himself supplicated to and worshipped another being. If he was God, why did he supplicate to and worship another being? Or was he supplicating and worshipping himself? Belief number 12. The actual proof of a Nabi is his being, his qualities and teachings. Intelligent people will easily believe after seeing this. For the general masses who are affected by outward signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested on their hands such astounding feats which were beyond the power and ability of man. These feats are referred to as mu'jiza. To save people from making an error, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow any false claimant to nubuwa to be able to perform extraordinary actions. If a person says, "I am a Nabi," then Allah will not allow him to make anything which is contrary to habit, any extraordinary actions. Yes, if a person lays claim to divinity, if a person says he's God, he's a divine God, he will be allowed to perform supernatural actions, as his claim is absolutely, obviously absurd. No one really believes he can be God, even though he can do supernatural actions, because you ask him, yourself has come in this world, who created you, how can you be a God? So that's completely obvious. So sometimes he can do supernatural actions like Dajjal also, and you get some people who do all of these funny things. But if they claim Nubuwa, Allah will not make it such that the person will be allowed to do anything supernatural. These miracles were not within the control of the Anbiya alayhi salam. When Allah ta'ala wished, he would enact it on their hands. One must believe in those miracles established in the Quran as they are, and not make fanciful interpretations. Example, the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turning into a garden, the miracle of bringing to life the dead by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the eighth chosen, eighth para was recited. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stubbornness of certain people, that no matter what signs come before them, they will not be prepared to accept. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for every Nabi Allah has made certain enemies, sometimes in the form of jinnat and some in the form of human beings. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ, and they will inspire to one another such words, deception, words of deception, which outwardly look very, very beautiful. So in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that so funny your deen is, that you cut an animal, you kill the animal, then it's halal. But if Allah kills the animal, then it's haram. So when he dies naturally, it's haram. But when you kill it, then it becomes halal, then you can eat it. So they brought forward this argument. So Allah says, Zukruf al-Qawl, outwardly it looks very, very beautiful, but it's beautified, but it's all it's deception. It's to deceive people, ghurura. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the effort they will do. If Allah wanted to, they wouldn't have done it. But this is the system Allah ta'ala has made in this world of truth and falsehood. There will always be the muqabala, a fight, a contest between these two of them. And the people who do not believe in the akhirah, their hearts will be inclined towards these things. They will become happy with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to a person, أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْتَغِي حَكَمًا, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're seeking somebody who will make a decision amongst you. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the kitab to you in great, great detail. And those who have granted them the kitab, they know it has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the truth. So don't be among those people who have got doubt. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are 100% true and is the most balanced way, adla. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ, there is no change in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you will follow the majority of the people, they will turn you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only follow conjecture, whatever comes to their mind. But they do not follow the wahi and revelation which has come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in today's time, many of the democratic system, majority, person follows the majority in the world. And many, many other things, doctors, scientists, philosophers, politicians. So person follows, they are the majority in the world. يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they will turn you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they are only following conjecture, what comes to their minds and their thoughts, but they do not have anything solid like wahi and revelation. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer that whatever Allah's name is taken upon, a person must eat that, and whatever Allah's name is not taken upon, is haram, a person should abstain from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ, leave out outward sins also and inward sins. So first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also outward sins. Many people say my heart is clean, that's the main thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here refer to outward sins first. Abstain from outward sins, so your outside also must be correct. And in Islam, we actually have to look at the outside of a person. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, that now wahi and revelation is stuff. Look at the outside of a person, and inside we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to make a judgment on the, in Sharia rulings, you make a judgment on the outside. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah does not look at ila ajsamikum, wala ila suwarikum. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your bodies and your forms. What it means, how Allah Ta'ala created a person is fat, a person is thin, a person is white, a person is black. Allah doesn't look at that. Malaki yanduru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. But Allah looks at your heart and your actions. So many people like try to deceive others. They don't look at our outwardly, our inside is clean. But Allah said, and the Nabi Prophet said in the hadith, yanduru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Your heart also and your a'mal and your actions also. Here also Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, zahir al-ithmi wa batin, the outside sins also a person must abstain from. And on the other extreme, some people only worry about the outside, but there is no concern about the inside, where pride is in a person has got jealousy, evil thoughts about other people, love of this world, all of these evil qualities are full up in a person's heart, so these are also evil. So both kinds of sins a person has to make an effort to cleanse himself from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next page mentions, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, whosoever Allah wants to guide a person, then Allah opens up his heart towards Islam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this, when Allah opens up a person's heart for Islam, then the nur of Islam enters his heart. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will we know when the nur has entered the heart of a person? Is there any alamat and any signs by which we can recognize now that Islam has come into his heart? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three signs by which we will know that Islam has really entered your heart or not. And we have to look into ourselves, do we have these three signs or not? The first sign Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, التجافي عن دار الغرور, a person, he turns away from this house of deception, this world, his heart is disinclined towards it. He will love you, but his heart is not inclined towards it. والإنابته إلى دار الخلود, and a person is full attention is turned now towards the everlasting life, the house of eternity, which is the akhirat. والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله, and number three, a person is preparing for death before death comes to a person. He's already starting to prepare. So if a person has got these three signs, it shows that now Islam has entered his heart, the nur of Islam has entered his heart. And if not, we do not have these signs, then we are, maybe we are in Islam, but Islam is not in us. And the effort we have to make is that Islam has come into our hearts. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions about certain foods which Allah has made haram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal. Many of the customs of the Arab people which they had, certain things they would make haram, which is completely halal and permissible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in great detail. And that while Allah has made certain things haram, it's only for our benefit. Whereas for the Jews, Allah has made certain things haram for them. It was a punishment from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ. They had done wrong, so Allah ta'ala punished them. But not for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of this, coming to the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the 10 commandments which came in the Torah also, right in the beginning of the Torah. The 10 commandments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, one is about food, all the before this was regarding food. But besides these, the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentions very briefly here. The first thing is that Allah has made haram upon you people to ever make shirk and take partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, to be kind and compassionate, to fulfill the rights of one's parents, and not only to fulfill the rights, not to have adl. It mentions there are 3 levels. One is zulm and oppression. This is impossible for one's parents to oppress them. One is to be just to them. If they do right to you, you do good to them. Adl. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, if they do wrong to you also, you still have to do right to them. You still have to show kindness towards one's parents. What a great right Allah has given the right of parents. And the amazing thing in this ayat is, most of the commands given here in this ayat are negative. Don't do this, don't do this. But when it came to this, Allah Ta'ala didn't say, don't be disobedient to your parents. Allah gave the positive command to show how much of emphasis وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be kind and compassionate and good towards one's parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not kill your children due to poverty, a fear of poverty, because we are the ones who will sustain you and we will sustain them. Sometimes the parent is frightened. I get children now, I'll have extra burden on myself. How am I going to look after this child? Allah says, we are giving you rosy also, we are giving them rosy also. So do not kill your children out of poverty. Some ulama have mentioned so beautifully, Ahmad Lahori rahmatullah alayh, he says that sometimes we kill our children. The Arabs used to kill their children physically, to murder them, kill them because of a fear of poverty. And in today's time, we see people are killing their children spiritually. And the physical killing, at least those children will go to Jannah. But those who kill their children spiritually, they are sending their children into the fire of Jahannam. He says, because we worried about our rosy and sustenance, such places a person will send his child, such environments, which will actually spiritually kill a person. At times a person loses his iman also. So many cases we hear of parents, they're crying now and they say, my child became an atheist, only had one child, and this child, he went to this environment, and he spoke with some friends, a wrong company he met in, and now he's a hardcore atheist. And the person even told his father, I'll come to the masjid, I don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to save your izzat and your honor. And he's coming to the masjid, performing salah also. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person will come to the masjid, and there will be no iman, a slightest sign of iman in that person's heart is complete hypocrisy. He's coming to the masjid also, but he's a hardcore atheist. And this is just a few cases we hear, but there are so many other cases. Because of the fear of poverty, parents kill their children spiritually. Allah says, we are the one who will give you rosy, and we will give them rosy. And especially most of our daughters, if their parents send their daughters to high school and universities, and also out of the fear of poverty, that if my daughter gets married one day, husband dies, then what will happen to her? Somebody has to look after her. Whereas Allah is the giver of rosy and sustenance. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشِ, do not go close to any kind of immorality, whether it's outward, whether it's inward, every kind of immorality, especially zina, and all of these actions, a person should abstain from. Do not kill and murder anybody. Do not go close to the wealth of the orphan person, and give him his money when now he reaches the right age. And وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ, all your business dealings, which you are doing your transactions, be very fair and just. Do not deceive anybody. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا, when you have to speak, then be just and fair. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى, sometimes you have to speak against your own family members also. When there is a case, for example, 2 people are having an argument, a case, sometimes you have to speak against your own family member also. Be fair and just. وَبِعَهَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُ, and fulfill the pacts and promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, this is the straight path. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, and follow this path. Do not follow all other paths, which will take a person away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given this wasiyat and advices so that you will get the quality of taqwa within yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have sent down this kitab full of barakat and blessings, the Quran Sharif. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow it, and have the fear, have quality of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special mercy will come down upon a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Inna salati wa nusuki, my salat and my other acts of worship, wa mahyaya wa mamati, my living and my dying, is all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must be the quality of a believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Al-A'raf. And this surah, some ulama say that in the past, Allah was giving da'wah to different nations, the Majus and the Yahud and the Nasara and all the different groups. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving da'wah to the Aqwami Alam, all the other nations of the world, whoever it is, all the nations of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing in this surah, yeah, because the address is very general. Shaitan's attack on man, on a general level, how it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Qiyamah, about the wazan, mizan, the scales on the day of Qiyamah. If our scales are heavy, then that person will be successful. But if the scales are light, then these are the people who will be in complete destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the beginning. Allah created us. Allah gave us beautiful forms. And Allah said to the angels to make sajda for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. They all made sajda besides Iblis. He was not prepared to make sajda. Allah ta'ala asked him, what has prevented you from making sajda? So he had this arrogance, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ, I am better than him. Oh Allah, you created me from fire and you created him from sand. Whereas the ulama have written many reasons why sand is actually better than fire. So even though his logic was also wrong, and أَوَلُ مَنْ قَاسِ إِبْلِيسِ, the first person to use his logic against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was shaitan. A clear direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet he is using his logic in his mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send him out of Jannah. Is that possible for you to remain here with your arrogance and your pride? He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me chance till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will give you some chance and some respite. And then Shaitan was so disrespectful. He said, oh Allah, because you must guide me, I will make sure now I will turn men away from the straight path. I will come to them from the front and from back, from the right and the left, from all different directions. And you will not find most of them having the quality of shukr. As it mentions once that Dr. Abdullah Arif rahmatullah mentions, if a person has to bring the quality of shukr into his life, then he will be saved from all the tricks and plots of shaitan. When a person brings the different levels of shukr into his life, understands the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then makes amal upon it, etc., then a person will be saved from all of the plots of shaitan. Because shaitan will come and find, I'll attack man from all different directions, but you won't find man having the quality of shukr. So this is actually one great solution for a person to get protected from all the plots of shaitan. Anyhow, Allah Ta'ala told Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Hazrat Hawa to remain in Jannah for a while before coming in this world. And they were allowed to eat from there wherever they wanted to, but they must not go close to a certain fruit. But shaitan came and he whispered to them, and he took a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he told them that Allah is preventing you from eating from the tree, because you will become angels, or you will live forever and forever, and you will remain always in Jannah, you will never have to go to this world. So Adam alayhi salam heard that I'll be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made an error, and somebody took a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible for someone to lie on Allah's name. So they ate from the fruit what they were prohibited from eating, and then eventually the clothing was removed. This was the effect of that fruit which they had eaten. So food has a very great effect. The first attack of shaitan on man is to remove his clothing. First attack of shaitan is to remove. When man has no modesty, there is no morality in a person, then shaitan completely destroys a person. And one of the main ways how shaitan has an effect upon a person is the food. Whatever food a person has, it has an effect upon a person. As people write that if you eat swine, then the quality of swine comes into a person. And the swine is one of the animals which has got the least amount of shame. It will even have a relations with its own mother. So this is the quality. When a person is eating that kind of meat, that kind of food, he will get the same qualities within himself. So food has a great effect upon a person. Look at the difference between Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and shaitan. And shaitan, when he was reprimanded, he said, I am better than him. He justified his action. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam immediately said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Oh Allah, we have made great zulam upon ourselves. If you don't forgive us and have mercy upon us, you'll be among the losers. Allah Ta'ala accepted Adam alayhi salam's tawbah. But then Allah Ta'ala was supposed to send Adam alayhi salam in this world as the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was sent down. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses man in four ayat. Ya Bani Adam, O son of Adam, in the Quran Sharif, only in this surah, Ya Bani Adam, Allah Ta'ala addresses human beings as general. This is addressed Ya Bani Adam. And three of these places in the Quran, in the surah, yeah, is referring to clothing. The person has to be very careful regarding his clothing. It shows what a great effect clothing has upon a person. The laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding hijab, and for men also how they must dress up. And this will save a person from many evils. So Allah said, we have sent down upon you people clothing to cover your private parts and as a means of beautification. And not only outward clothing, but more important is when you advance to taqwa, the clothing of the heart, that is the quality of taqwa. This is the most important thing also. But the outward clothing also and inward clothing. And as ulama mentioned, it comes in the hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about two groups of people who have not come as yet, he said in that time, but they will be kasiyatun, ariyatun, wearing clothing, but they will be naked. Ulama have given different meanings regarding wearing clothing and naked. One meaning is they will be wearing clothing, but the clothing will not be covering their body full. The hair will be left open, their legs will be left open, their arms will be left open. So they are wearing clothing, but the clothing is not concealing their body completely. So this is one meaning. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah, even though Jannah can be smelled very far away. Second meaning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ulama have mentioned is that they will be wearing clothing, but the clothing will be very tight fitted on their body. No, it will be a see-through clothing. It will be wearing, covering the whole body. The scarf is see-through, the trousers is see-through, the dress is see-through, a person can see through the body, even though they are wearing clothing. So they are wearing clothing, but they are naked. And the third type of clothing which ulama mentioned is that they are wearing clothing, but the clothing is very tight fitted on the body. That maybe they are covering their body completely, maybe they are wearing a cloak also. But the cloak is so tight fitted on the body, you can see all the designs on the body, the contours of the body. And this also creates shahwat and desires. Sometimes the woman folk at home also, they're not going out now. But the Islam's system of Islam is haya and shame, morality. That we are, a person must always wear such decent clothing. So even the woman folk at home, today it has become very common, tight. Many women folk, they wear tight. Or they buy cloaks also. Alhamdulillah, they are in deen. They buy cloaks, but the cloaks are so tight fitted. That even if it's a 70-year-old lady, 60-year-old lady, and now she's wearing the parda and burqa and niqab, a person is actually inclined, he thinks he's an 18-year-old lady walking around, and he's more inclined to looking at her. If he actually had to see her face, he would have turned away. But the way the clothing is designed, and all the, how beautiful it's made, and how tight-fitted it is on the body. So really, the clothing which we wear, also must be loose-fitted. There are young boys who mention actually, that sometimes they get turned on by their own mothers, or they get turned on by their own sisters in the house. So they're living with their own mahram woman, but the kind of clothing the people are wearing, completely against the morality of Islam. Whereas it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that iman and haya come together. They are joined together. When one leaves a person, the other one automatically leaves. So when we take out that haya from us, automatically that iman is leaving a person, is leaving a person's life. So Allah ta'ala gave us tawfiq in that manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Bani Adam, son of Adam, not only Muslims, even non-Muslims, لا يفتننكم الشيطان, let shaitan not deceive you people and put you in fitna. Like how he took your parents out of Jannah, removing their clothing, so that they can see the private parts of one another. This was a great attack which shaitan has made. Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. When you're going to the masjid, make sure you wear beautiful clothing also, clothing which covers you properly. You are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eat and drink, do not waste. The halal things in this world, Allah has made it halal. Nobody has made it haram. Why are you making haram things? But Allah has made some beauties of this world, etc. Yes, Allah has made immorality haram. Outward and inward, all kunaj and sins Allah has made haram. Oppressing other people, taking partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon a person. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about A'raf. A'raf is a place between Jannah and Jahannam. Those people whose amal are equal. They've done a good number of good actions and evil actions, but they are equal. They will not be allowed to enter into Jannah immediately. They will be made to wait in a certain place called A'raf. And then they will see the people of Jannah. There is a discussion with the people of Jannah. The people of Jannah will speak to the people of Jahannam. That what Allah has promised us, it was definitely true. Have you found the thing to be true also? And then the people of Jahannam will ask the people of Jannah, give us a little bit of water to drink. They said, Allah has made it haram upon the kuffar and disbelievers. Those people who this worldly life had deceived them. They had taken their deen and their way of life as a pastime and as amusement and as a play. فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ. Today we will forget them, like how they had forgotten the coming of this day, the day of Qiyamah. So this will be the punishment for such people. And the people in A'raf in the middle, they eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them entry into Jannah. But Allah not make us amongst them, make us amongst Ashabul Jannah, the people of Jannah will get direct entry into Jannah. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions incidents of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Five Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam are mentioned here. And the reason for mentioning this is, one is to give tasalliyah and console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your people are against you, there's nothing new. First Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam also came, give da'wah to Tawheed and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and how the people went against them, the Rasuls. So this is, gives strength to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In there is some lesson for us also, that the gunas and sins which the people of the past had committed, we should abstain from doing so. If we do these gunas and sins, we will be causing destruction to ourselves. One lesson also is that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is dhair, but not andhair. There is the respite. Allah gives chance to a person. But Allah is not blind. Allah Ta'ala is not, Allah doesn't know. Allah is fully aware. But many times Allah gives respite and chance to people. But then when people exceed the bounds, then eventually they are destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Then Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to his people and he gave them da'wah and they were not prepared to accept. So Salih alayhi salam, he went to Qawm Thamud. He showed them a clear sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people were involved in building huge, huge mansions. From the mountains they used to carve out houses. And they still disobeyed Allah ta'ala after giving them all of these bounties. He said, remember and ponder about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They became so involved in the houses and in the buildings and all the projects. They forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to his people. They were involved in fulfilling their desires. Like words and animals, they are fulfilling their desires with men. إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِنْ دُونِ النِّسَاءِ. Fulfilling your desires with men, leaving out women. The evil action of homosexuality. According to some, there was lesbianism amongst the ladies also. Eventually, these people were destroyed. Their mind became so perverted. They said, إِنَّهُمُ النَّاسُ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. These people want to be pure. They want to be good people. Their minds became so perverted. They regarded purity as an evil quality. And unfortunately, this is what is happening in the world in today's time. Allah Ta'ala destroyed the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and all those who ever had liking for them also. His wife, she wasn't a homosexual or a lesbian, but because she had liking with those people, she also was destroyed among those people. And in the last incident, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam went to his people, and these people were cheating in their business dealings, cheating with their weights and scales. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, which will come in the beginning of the ninth para, in the ninth juz. So we are encouraged that we must abstain from all of these gunas and sins which were destroyed, the people of the past were destroyed. And comes in a hadith coming to the effect that all the past nations, what gunas they had done on an individual basis, my ummah, all those gunas will be found in different people, different gunas and sins will be found. So Allah Ta'ala is warning us in this surah, we should abstain from these sins, so it does not lead us to our destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
بالله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم عن أبي أراقة قال سمعت علي رضي الله تعالى عنه يقول والله لقد رأيت أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فما أرى اليوم شيئا يشبههم لقد كانوا يصبحون سفوا شعثا غبرا بين أعينهم كأمثال رعب المعزى قد باتوا لله سجدا وقياما يتلون كتاب الله يتراوحون بين جباههم وأقدامهم فإذا أصبحوا فذكروا الله مادوا كما يميد الشجر في يوم الريح وحملت أعينهم حتى تبل ثيابهم وذكر تمام الرواية رواه ابن أبي الدنيا. حضرت ابو عراق رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ حضرت علی رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ نے فرمایا کہ اللہ کی قسم میں نے حضرت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم کو دیکھا ہے آج ان جیسا کوئی نظر نہیں آتا ہے صبح کے وقت ان کی یہ حالت ہوتی تھی کہ رنگ زرد اور بال بکھرے ہوئے اور جسم غبار آلود ہوتا تھا ان کی ویشانی پر سجدہ کا اتنا بڑا نشان نمایاں ہوتا تھا جتنا بڑا نشان بکری کے گھٹنے پر ہوتا ہے ساری رات اللہ کے سامنے سجدہ کرتے ہوئے اور کھڑے ہو کر قرآن کی تلاوت کرتے ہوئے گزار دیتے تھے اور سجدہ اور قیام ہی میں راحت حاصل کرتے تھے جب صبح ہو جاتی اور وہ اللہ کا ذکر کرتے تو ایسے جھومتے جیسے کہ تیز ہوا کے دن یا بعد صبح کے وقت درخت جھومتا ہے اور اس طرح روتے کہ کپڑے گیلے ہو جاتے. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu once said, by Allah, verily I have seen the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I find none who resemble them today. They would awaken in the morning with nothing in their hands, no wealth, with disheveled hair and dusty clothes. On their foreheads would be a mark resembling the knee of a goat due to long periods of time spent in sajda. They would spend the major portion of the night standing and making sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the Quran, alternating between qiyam and sajda. When dawn would break, they would engage in Allah's dhikr, swaying from side to side like how a tree sways on a windy day. Tears would flow from their eyes so much so that even their clothes would become wet. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu once said, by Allah, verily I have seen the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I find none who resemble them today. They would awaken in the morning with nothing in their hands, no wealth, with disheveled hair and dusty clothes. On their foreheads would be a mark resembling the knee of a goat due to long periods of time spent in prostration. They would spend the major portion of the night standing and prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the Quran, alternating between qiyam and sajda. When dawn would break, they would engage in Allah's dhikr, swaying from side to side like how a tree sways on a windy day. Tears would flow from their eyes so much that even their clothes would become wet.